T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, it's The Six with the Jason and John Show.
Step in the kitchen. Let's go. Brand new Lamborghini, a cop car.
Kennedy Chandler is a five-star guard, the number one point guard in the state of Tennessee, according to 247. And he's got a little bit of an announcement he wants to share. He joins us along with his father, Kylan, now. How you guys doing? And appreciate the time.
Doing good. Appreciate you having us as well.
Absolutely. All right, so Kylan, let's kind of start with you, man. Obviously, this has been a crazy time. I know, you know, you guys had a lot of expectations about what the summer would look like, running it back, you know, with MoCan Elite. That obviously did not happen because of COVID-19. So, Kylan, just how have you guys kind of handled this this spring and summer with no, you know, EYBL and things like that? What's it been like the last few weeks?
Well, basically, we've just been taking it one day at a time, you know, just trying to be safe. Just being very preventive, you know, of this COVID-19. But since then, you know, now we're in phase two. So you can have so many, I think it's 50 or less in a gym. So we've been getting some run in. That spirit by Javonte Holmes, which is Kennedy's trainer. Javonte Holmes puts on a quarantine hoop run, which includes nothing but pros. I think Kennedy and Alden Applewhite are the only high schoolers that are in there. But you got Lester Hudson, Ian Clark, played at Golden State. John Morant comes in sometimes when he get a chance. DJ Jeffries, some of the Tigers, Alex Lomax, Damian Biles. So they're getting some great run in, John. And Kennedy's just trying to stay in shape and take care of his body and get ready for the next level.
So, Kennedy, but we know you got to announce what you want to share before we do that. I mean, are you matching up with Ja? Like, are you and Ja matching up against each other?
A little bit. Yesterday we had teamed up. It was me, him, and Dita Jerkers that teamed up. So, who was killing yesterday?
Yeah, I would imagine. So, how's he look, man? You know, a lot of Grizzlies fans are really excited about seeing him, you know, again this season. He looked good. He's in shape. Everything's good.
Yeah, he is. He's killing out there on the court. He doing the same thing he was doing while playing with the Grizzlies.
Dig that. All right. Well, so listen, Kennedy. I know you. I know today is a big day for you, number one point guard in the state of Tennessee, and you got a little bit of an announcement. So if you want to share, I think the city's ready to hear.
Well, first, this wasn't an easy decision for me to make. I discussed with my family, and by the end of the day, I decided that I want to go to Sunrise Christian Academy for my to play my senior year of high school for my last year.
Tell us a little something about Sunrise. Why'd you pick?
Sunrise, you know, it's just close to my AAU team, MoCan. Mm-hmm. It's family all around there. I know some kids. I go to Sunrise, so and the coaching staff is really great. And I feel like for me to go to Sunrise, they're gonna push me every day in practice and prove me to be a better player.
How tough was it? And we imagine you know it's a great opportunity for you. How tough was it to make the decision to leave Bryarcrest after everything you've accomplished there?
It was tough, you know. At first I really didn't want to leave because Bryarcrest has all been home to me. I've been there since second grade. By the end of the day, I know that for me to go to Sunrise, that'll help me to get better every day and for me to achieve my dreams. And I knew it was the best fit for me.
We are, of course, talking to Kennedy Chandler and his father, Kylan, five-star point guard who was leaving the city of Memphis, going to Sunrise Christian for his senior year of high school before moving on to college. Kylan, for you, you know, as a parent, you know, I know on one hand, you know, you want Kennedy to get the absolute best sort of tutelage and the best training, and they're going to play, obviously, a national schedule. It's a powerhouse of a school. But on the other, I mean, you'd love to have him here in Memphis, I'm sure. So how hard was this decision for you? Was it a difficult decision for you?
Well, it was a difficult decision for my wife and I, man. I mean, if you see now, when you see Kennedy, you see me in reference to a gym, workouts, practices or whatever. So that luxury of having that, I'm going to miss it, but best believe, we still don't know yet. I mean, I might go down there for some months. My wife might go down there for the first month. I mean, I don't know. But we brainstorming and just thinking about what we're going to do. But for sure, we're going to be at all the games. We're going to make our visits on some weekends. But we just trying to determine, you know, how we're going to do it. But, you know, I know it was a tough decision for Kennedy and for the family. Because like he just said, Brockers has been so great to him. Yeah. He loves Coach Harrington, and but he knows that he got to make this decision so he can be challenged every day in practice, on and off the court. You know, and it's just a great feeling. It's going to prepare him for college.
Kennedy, you know, I know you put your top five out not too long ago, and you know, as the, you know, you're leaving Tennessee, but you're certainly one of the best point guards in the country, if not the best point guard in the country. Have you thought about sort of the next steps in your college recruitment? Sort of where are you in that decision-making process?
For me, it's a hard time right now because I'm just getting Zoom calls from coaches and coaches calling me and texting me. So I really can't make a decision or go any step further because I really want to take my officials and get to the camp and stuff to all five schools. So I'm waiting to see if that better happen for me.
When do we get the invite to these open gyms and watch you take on John Morant, brother? I'm just going to be real honest with you.
I don't know. I got to see.
How have
Jason.
Yes. I got to ask you, Dad, what those battles have looked like. I mean, come on, y'all leaving us out. Those are monster hooping sessions in there.
Yeah, they're great, but just give me a call, Jason. No, just give me a call. You know, we'll talk about that. But just give me a call.
I got you.
We go sneak Jason in through the.
But we're less than 50. I mean, you said it's phase two, right?
Jason yeah. And John, you too, John. Both of you.
Okay,
are.
Thank you. I was gonna say because I, you know, I'm gonna have to probably write about it. So just like sneak me in, you know, the back door. We can figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but just give me a call, man. You know, I got you guys, man. Man, y'all been supportive of Kennedy as well. You know, and we appreciate everything you all do for Kennedy as well too. So. But just give me a call. Both of y'all have my number. It's not a problem for y'all coming in, man.
Kylan, that relationship with MoCan, with those folks, and it's you clearly trust those folks. Like, that relationship is clearly – and why wouldn't it be, right? You want a national title with them. But how much did that relationship play into this?
Oh, it played a whole lot. I mean, yeah. It's strong. I mean, our relationship, Jason, is so strong. It's unbelievable. You know, we've known them all, you know, for years. But – you know, Kennedy got offers from Mount Verde, IMG, Prolific Prep, Oak Hill. But we knew that this situation, they know Kennedy, they know the family. He's like you just said, he brought a Peach Jam title to them,
yep.
Helped them achieve that. They're just great people, man. And like I said, it's just a perfect fit for Kennedy. And Kennedy's comfortable, I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And that's what it's all about. If Kennedy happy, I'm happy. And but he's ready to move forward, and he's ready for the challenge like he always has been.
Yeah,
since he's been playing basketball. So
absolutely. Well, listen, we
congrats, gentlemen, on the choice.
We hate that, you know, Memphis is losing such a talented prospect, but we certainly do understand the decision. Know that it's probably the best for you know, for his future development. No question about it. So we congratulate you guys, and thanks for coming on to both
appreciate
of you guys.
Y'all.
Okay, appreciate you all too as well.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yep.
Congrats.
Is Kennedy Chandler.
I'm a legend just like Michael. My bitch is ungrateful, so I'm out with my style.
Bobby Marks, the front office insider for ESPN, as we inch closer to a return of the NBA. Certainly glad to have him on. Bobby, what's going on, my friend? How you hanging in there?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Everything in Memphis is, you know, it looks like it's turning up, turning in the right direction. We're finally getting there. In terms of you know, I know there's a call today, a virtual call, and it doesn't sound like they're going to agree to anything. What do you sort of, from your perspective, make of the process? How long it's taken? Has it taken too long? Do you have to be super careful in the situation? What do you just make of the way that the NBA has made this decision and gone about it?
Yeah, I don't think it's been too long because it's, you know, we could have agreed upon this, you know, weeks ago. And if your facilities aren't open and you can't get guys back into the country, it doesn't mean much. I mean, it would just be dates that would have been out there. So I think the league has all along felt like that, you know, games are going to be played in late July, August, September, potentially early October, and this kind of aligns with, you know, the plan here. I mean, yeah, I understand that there's a lot of different scenarios here to figure it out. Is it, you know, to get, you know, first finding a facility to hold, you know, up to at a minimum 16 teams, potentially 30 teams, the testing aspect of it, you know, do you have to get, you know, certainly player support here. So, no, I don't. I get it, you know, because we're almost two and a half months in from when the last game was played. But I don't think the process has been dragged out. I think as long as they get the process right, and as far as what teams are going to Orlando in the type of format, then I think it will be well worth you know, the wait here.
We've seen a bunch of different plans sort of presented, Bobby. Which of them is the best to you? And maybe it's. Maybe more feasible is the right way to ask that question. But which one do you like?
I mean, I'm in the corner of take the teams that finished the regular season in mid March, as far as the 16 teams, you know, the 8 in the East and 8 in the West, and either we keep them by conference or we reseed them.
Yep.
If that's the opportunity, I mean, this is really the only opportunity we're going to have in Orlando to if we're going to go by the reseeding format, because. You know, it will be hard to have Brooklyn play the Lakers a year from now when you're basically crisscrossing the country here. So I am in that faction of people. I just think the less is better for people. I think there's so much unknown as far as how this is going to go off. It's hard to bring 24 or 30 teams,
right?
And, you know, multiply that by 35 or 40, not even including NBA people, and to be able to get something done by, you know, I guess October 1st or late September. So I'm in that corner. Do I think that will be it? Probably not. I think probably what we'll see is the 16 teams plus, I guess, those four bubble teams in a type of play-in situation. I don't think 24 teams, and I think the group stage thing is fascinating, but, you know, to invite teams that had no chance of participating in the playoffs to a group stage, I don't think that's the best thing for the league.
Do you think this thing looks like Barkley mentioned, where, and others have mentioned, maybe this is to the point, because we're with you on the 1 through 16, maybe it's partly just because we're here in Memphis, but if one person on the team comes down with it, Barkley said, oh, you got to slot that whole team out, they're gone. And if you're bringing more teams in, you feel like the chances that go, you know, they go up. You know what I mean? Is that what you think? Is that the plan, that if it's just one, is it going to take three or four? What happens when that happens, Bobby?
Yeah, I mean, if that was the case, where if a guy was going to test positive and then we just shut that team down,
right.
I don't think we would have a rest of the season. I mean,
exactly.
Because the likelihood,
exactly.
Of guys, I mean, it's going to happen, right? I mean, it's just kind of the nature of the beast, and I think what will happen is that it would have to take three or four guys. It'd have to be a domino effect.
Like.
I think the minimum in the playoffs is nine players that you can dress. Yeah, I mean, if it devastates the team, certainly I think you're going to probably see some type of roster expansion for the playoffs where you're going to maybe allow to add a couple players. Maybe you'll be allowed to use two-way players here to kind of offset that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, if it's going to be like that and it's one player and we shut it down, then when we come back in whenever it is December for the 2021 season, it's going to be the same way.
Right.
You know, I mean, this thing is not going anywhere. And that's why I was never in that belief where I had heard people say, well, we should shut it down for the, you know, and just hit a restart. Well, if we're going to do that, then we're just going to wait until next February or next March when
Absolutely.
We have a vaccine in place. And, you know, we just kind of sit in our houses for the next 6 or 7 months here.
Yeah, no, we agree. We agree on that point completely, Bobby. I mean, and whether that means, like, honestly, I think there are some innovative things you can do. I think you have to build in emergency roster spots, right? Like, if you have a G League affiliate, you need to be able to sort of tap in. And Is it ideal? No, but we live in less than ideal times, and we have to improvise, and we have to learn to live with this stuff. So I think there are certainly some ways that we can get around that and still provide a product. In terms of the Grizzlies, though, now you're sort of seeing this push, you know, this push for a 20-team sort of play-in deal where the Grizzlies have to basically defend the fact that they have a 3.5 game lead. Is that right? And I know we're in an era where it's not about fair or just whatever, but I mean, they have a 3.5 game lead. I believe the Magic have a 5.5 game lead. I mean, we're talking about two games here. How can we decide that 3.5 is not enough, but yet 5.5 is? What's the cutoff? Is this fair for the Grizzlies? Are they getting screwed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that whatever happens, somebody's not going to be happy, right?
Right.
If it's Memphis, it's probably there's two different factions there. It's Memphis, Brooklyn, and Orlando, right? Kind of in one corner, and then you have the San Antonio, Portland, Sacramento, New Orleans group, right? So, like, for me to think, is it ripe? I don't think so. I mean, I think that's why I've been in the notion. I think just take the 16 teams. Hey, you guys have had 66 or 67 games to figure out how to get into the top 8, right? Like, I get it. Injuries are part of it. And I know that everyone in New Orleans is screaming, well, Memphis had a tough schedule the last 15 or 16 games, and ours was easier. But I'm not buying into that there. So, no, I don't think it's right. But I think if you're in Memphis, I think you should probably prepare that there is going to be some type of a play-in situation. I don't know how they do it. Because here's the other thing. If there's a play-in situation, and let's say all of a sudden you take – there are 10 teams in the West and 6 in the East, like, are we going to that reseeding format now? Like, are we going to, you know, is Portland going to be the 16th seed and Memphis the 15th seed? And how does that kind of flush out there? So I think there's still some things to figure it out. And I think whatever happens today with the Board of Governors call is that the commissioner is going to present what he thinks is best for the league. And then the owners are going to come back and, you know, have some type of vote. And hopefully within, you know, by early next week, we'll know what we're going to be doing.
Bob, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I'm just going to say, you know, it's not like people, you know, I have seen that argument, Bobby, from people who cover the Pelicans about how, well, you know, it's no less gimmicky than the Grizzlies' regular season ending right before they're the most difficult. The Grizzlies did not create the coronavirus in a lab, okay, to end the season, you know, right before they got in the toughest stretch. I mean, it's not like they could have controlled this. They, for once, the Grizzlies got lucky, right? I mean, they've gotten lucky twice, it feels like, in franchise history. And it's one when they got the second pick to draft Ja, and now, you know, when the regular season ended when it did. I mean, it's the Grizzlies are allowed to have something every now and then, right, Bobby?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I would understand if there was more of an argument if there was a team that was a game out or a half game out, and like, but it isn't. I mean, you look at like in the Eastern Conference, like why should we allow Washington and Charlotte back in the picture when those teams are, you know, whatever, 10 games behind or 8 games behind, and if you look at the Western Conference, why should Dallas be part of a play-in scenario when they're like 10 games above 500? Like it doesn't make sense at all. So yeah, I get it. I mean, I understand, and that's what I said. Like, somebody is not going to be happy. You know, I mean, if it's you know, those bubble four teams or those teams that are kind of were in the playoffs when we stopped in mid-March.
Well, what do you think, Bobby? Is Tyus Jones going to be happy? Is he going to get the $858,000 bonus? You wrote about this. Is he going
to
get it?
I don't think Tyus has to worry about it. I don't think so. I mean, if he does. If they don't give it to him, then I think he's got something pretty a strong argument there. But yeah, I mean, we wrote about all these bonuses that, and it was a fascinating story when you kind of look back. Yeah. And I had to go back 9 years from when we were in that lockout of 2011 to see what the league was able to do. And yeah, I mean, Tyus he's got an $858,000 bonus for Memphis hitting 33 wins. As you guys know, they're sitting right at 32. So what happens if the season is? We go right to the playoffs and there's no regular season games. And from what I know is that the league will use a prorated based on how many games Memphis has played and prorate that bonus down. So he will, I would say 99% chance hit it unless we come back with, we play all 16 games that are left and the Grizzlies go 0-16. I think that's the only way that he does not get that.
You know, we've been obviously thinking about what life will look like when the pandemic ultimately subsides. You know, what trends are going to stick. You know, what restaurants and movie theaters and all these things are going to look like. But I also wonder about the remnants of COVID-19 on the NBA and whether the changes that we see in the NBA will be permanent after all this is said and done. And I think one of those things is potentially the start date of the season, right? If we go until August, then that's going to put, you know, the next season, certainly you think about, you know, Christmas. I think that's a very popular start date. And then, you know, if you start on Christmas, right, you could really dominate as a league from April until August. Like, you have all of that sort of bandwidth, all of that space. You know, I guess the other argument, Bobby, would be, well, free agency is going to coincide now with the start of football. But if I'm the NBA, I would much rather compete with my free agency in football than my actual games. Where are you on perhaps world domination that the NBA can kind of take if they start the season on Christmas?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I've been, you know, when this started in mid-March and as this played out, I thought that with an NBA season, if we resumed or without, that December was more of a logical a starting point. And I think when you have the commissioner come out and say that 40% of revenue comes from the fans, as far as gate receipts, concessions, parking, and all that kind of comes in, you know, why would you want to start in mid-October or November here? You know, December, it gives you more time to maybe find a vaccine, more time to kind of figure out maybe we're putting fans in the attendance, but maybe not full. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to play out where, you know, this playoffs probably won't get done until the end of September, and we're probably looking at starting free agency October 1 and then the training camp, I guess, in early December and have a start date, you know, right around Christmas time. And that, you're right, it pushes everything kind of back 2 months. It's a matter of now, will the league adopt a new cap calendar? The cap calendar goes from July 1 to June 30. It's been like that forever. But we're in a position of change right now. Things are not normal. So you can certainly go about doing that and having free agency start, you know, in 2021, October 1st, or maybe even in September. So I think definitely we're looking at, an December start date here, but it's just a matter of, is the league willing to kind of follow that for future years?
Obviously, we know that if Atlanta or Cleveland end up with the number one pick, they're probably not going to draft James Wiseman. But if any other team gets it, right, like if Detroit gets it or Golden State gets it, and I don't know what Minnesota would be thinking either, but most teams, if they get the number one pick, do you believe James Wiseman would be the favorite to go number one?
I mean, I think there's probably a strong, you know, faction of people who have talked about LaMelo Ball at one. You know, when you start going through this draft, and you know the draft probably won't be this September. It's a guard dominated draft. It really is. I mean, there is a ton of point guards here, and I think where LaMelo is, he's raw. He's, you know, at 19. He played in Australia. Didn't play in the NCAAs, but his upside is, you know, he's one of these big guards here. I think it's going to be interesting with what happens with, you know, teams that have gone guard heavy. You know, especially Cleveland. If Cleveland is sitting at in one of these top spots, if they go guard again. So I think the pool of guys between Wiseman, Ball, Edwards from Georgia, I think that's kind of your top three. I think any one of those can go one. I think it'll be interesting if teams go by, if they're all kind of tied, if teams go by more of that best, that fit instead of that best available that we always see in the NBA. It's almost like how the NFL does it.
Bobby, why lie about Isaiah Thomas if you're Michael Jordan?
You know what? Here's words of advice. If you're ever going to do a documentary, right?
Uh-huh.
This includes for me 20 years from now, and I'm not talking about the NBA. Make sure that there's no skeletons in the closet to come out, and no recordings as far as what you might have said. Because it sounds good when we're all home watching it, right? Pizza guy,
uh-huh.
Isaiah Thomas, all that stuff. So when the real people come out and say, well, wait a minute, I was the guy who delivered the pizza. You know, I was a Bulls fan. There was only two of us instead of five. Or there was a recording that says, you know, with talking about Isaiah not on it.
I think it's kind of, you just got to be careful as far as what you put out there, because it certainly does come back and get you.
Let me ask you this. Reinsdorf talked a little bit about that contract he gave Scotty, and he tried to say, hey, I kind of told him, you know, this isn't something you want to sign, but of course you're pushing it across the table. Do owners, you know, I had a hard time believing that. You want him the cheapest you can get him, don't you? I mean, when it all boils down to it, did you believe that story?
I believe he said, I mean, it was different back in the 90s. So I do believe, you know, he mentioned that. I mean, I don't think what he probably said was, hey, in 4 years from now, cap's going to spike and, you know, that contract's not going to be 100%. Looking very good. But
right.
I think for Scotty's, you know, position, a guy who had not made a lot of money in, you know, in his career, you know, certainly has the home element. When you're able to get $3 to $4 million in 1 year and where you come from and not having money at all, it's hard for you to turn down. And it kind of came back and got him, you know, during those last 3 or 4 years. He was able to get a big deal when he did that sign and trade to go to Houston here. But yeah, usually the owners don't get involved in a negotiation. It's usually up to the agent to say, hey, I would recommend you not doing it, but you know, I work for you. And I'm going to rely on you to make that decision.
Yeah. Bobby, man,
it's
this is
man.
Great
Thank
stuff
you.
As always. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you.
Yep. Yes, sir.
He is Bobby Mark.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show Monday at 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.